All right, I'll call the November 18th meeting of the Connecticut Port Authority meeting to order at 12:07. I'll do a quick roll call. So Grant,
Here.
Gaffney,
Here.
John,
Here.
David Corus,
Here.
Dave Perullo, Mayor Riling,
Here.
Kristen.
Here.
Tom,
Here.
Sally,
Here.
new member, by the way, welcome.
Thank you.
Paul Hinch,
Here.
Kimberly Lassay, Doug,
Here.
Paul Robertson, saw you.
Here, live and in living color.
Yep, Kaylee Moran. Felix or Mayor Passero?
Paul, Mayor Pastore is here. Felix cannot make it today.
Okay, great. Thomas Gill and Brian Thompson. Okay, pretty sure we have a quorum. So the next order of business is public comment. Jill, you want to go through how people on the Zoom call can do public comment?
Sure. If you're joining on Zoom, you can raise your hand or just take yourself off mute. If you're calling in on the phone, you can press star six to unmute yourself or star nine to raise your hand.
Okay. I don't think there's anybody in the room that wants to make a public comment. So, on to agenda item number three, committee updates. The Audit, Compliance, and Governance Committee met prior to this meeting, and I'm going to turn it over to Conan Resnick to give us a presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Melissa Ferrucci, and I'm the lead audit partner at CohnReznick for the Port Authority Audit. Joined with me today is Tina Chokas and Jordan Hunt, my colleagues who also have worked on the Port Authority Audit. This is our sixth and final year based on required rotation of auditors, and want to first start off by thanking you all, as well as the management team, Mike Hamill, Fayola Haynes, and Lori Lepler, for all of their support throughout the audit process. We've had a very, very smooth audit this year, and we will move forward to present the draft audit for the year ended June 30th, 2025. As part of our presentation, we are going to discuss the various reports that we issued. We will provide you all with the required communications with those charged with governance, and we will talk briefly about future considerations and upcoming GASB statements. So, for the reports issued, we have issued an unmodified or clean opinion on the financial statements. Our audit was conducted in accordance with generally accepted government auditing standards. And we also have issued a report on internal control over financial reporting and compliance and other matters. We did report in this report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance a material weakness related to a finding that is included in the financial statements related to a cybersecurity incident that had occurred during the audit year. The authority has since implemented controls in response to this incident to prevent future incidents from occurring. There are no management letter comments this year. And now I will go forth and go through some of the additional required communications for you all. So, as you have the draft financial statements, there are no major presentation changes. The authority has implemented GASB 101 related to compensated absences. In terms of significant estimates included in the financial statements, those include the pension and OPEB liabilities, as well as the related deferred inflows and outflows associated with those liabilities. And depreciation and amortization expense are also considered significant estimates within the financial statements. There are no uncorrected misstatements. All of the misstatements that were found within the audit are deemed immaterial and have been corrected by management. And there's no significant or unusual transactions. We've had no disagreements with management or any issues discussed during the audit. We did not consult with any other accountants in relation to this audit. And again, no difficulties in performing the audit. And management will be requested to sign a representation letter, and then we will be issuing our report in accordance with the deadline prior to December 31st of this year, 2025. And then moving on to the future considerations. In the transition, as noted prior, this will be our last year working with the authority as a result of a required 6-year rotation. We have fulfilled the 6 years of this contract. Going forward, we'll ensure a smooth transition with the future auditors. And again, these are the upcoming future considerations in new GASBs for 2026 that in conjunction with your new auditors, you'll be potentially determining if these are relevant and necessarily for implementation in the next audit of the authority. So that's GASB 102, certain risk disclosures, and GASB 104, that's for the upcoming next fiscal year of 2026. And then in 2027, we have GASB 103, which is financial reporting model improvements. And now I'd like to open it up if there are any questions as it relates to the audit and the audit results.
Just want to point out to all board members, this is a draft. We did point out a couple of notes that we want to change in the draft that were minor in detail. It's not, I would appreciate it if you didn't release it to anyone since it is a draft and wait for the final product to come out.
Thank you. Well, on behalf of the firm and Cohn Resnick, again, we really, really appreciate everything that you've done over the years. It's been a pleasure working with you all. And any other final questions?
I was going to ask Tom or Paul if you wanted to say anything before we move.
Yeah, I obviously just wanted to thank you for your wonderful work with us. And we certainly appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I do appreciate all the work you've done, Melissa, and your firm. I also want to call out Fayola, who over the last couple of years has done a terrific job to get the financial house in order with good controls and a high degree of accuracy, starting from base entries all the way up to financial statements. So. Appreciate the work that the staff at Connecticut Port Authority has done here.
And I would be remiss if I didn't let David say a couple words. He's lived through six audits, mostly as the chair. So I didn't know if you wanted to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say briefly, right? Auditing as a function is designed to help us kind of identify opportunities to continually improve our operations. And I think it's been a really great partnership. And Melissa and the team have been really collaborative and have continued to provide guidance that has enabled us to incrementally enhance our controls so that we are now in a position where I think it's blatantly obvious to anyone who's actually looking that we are appropriate and responsible stewards of the public dollars and trust that we've been empowered with. So thank you for the partnership and congrats to the staff for getting us here.
Amen.
Thank you.
And Paul, I'll add that, you know, Cohn Resnick is not just somebody you call at audit time. They've been available throughout the course of the year. When we did have the cyber issue, they were helpful in determining what actions we can put in place. Of course, some of the actions we took were conveniently aligned with our new IT firm that we use to help us with training and controls to limit the threat from cybersecurity. So that's good. Cone Resnick also does training for area financial partners that Faye and I participate in, which we will continue to do so since that's open to everybody outside of their client base too, which has been helpful to allowing us to interact with other people in the financial world since we don't get involved in that day to day. Very much appreciated.
Yep, outstanding. Anyone else? With that said, I'll entertain a motion for authorizing the acceptance of the fiscal year 2025 independent audit.
So moved. Second.
So John and then Paul Hinch. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Looks like we've got a preponderance of ayes and raised hands. Anybody abstaining? Anybody opposed? All right. Motion passes. Okay, on to the Finance Committee. Tom, I'll let you introduce our guest and go through a couple of items.
Sure. So the first item is to consider a renewal of our insurance bindings. Vincent Fascigno, is here today to review that proposal. We received a proposal in the joint meeting of the audit and finance committees earlier today, and we would recommend it for approval, but we'll have Vincent go through it. So Vincent, why don't you take over?
Okay. And Jill, you bring up the summary again?
Yes.
So we're starting with the premium summary, which as you can see, we achieved a reduction in the premium this year. The main components of the insurance program are the marine general liability and the bumbershoot liability. Bumbershoot is excess liability for the marine coverages. So with the Hartford slash Navigators, they're the underwriters for the marine program. We were able to get them to come off of their minimum premium for, you know, for this type of risk. we've had a good relationship with the Hartford through the the construction, the reconstruction of the pier. We did have a claim in 2024, significant bodily injury claim on the premises, which was just resolved by, Star Indemnity Gateway's insurer accepting the tender of the claim. So we look at this program, predominantly as a lot of, defense and investigation coverage with, Gateway, they're accepting the primary liability for the operation of the port. Coverage there also extends out to all of the various projects, such as the Fort Trumbull and any other projects which the Port Authority is overseeing. The management liability coverages is predominantly the public entity liability, which is the public equivalent of the directors and officers liability. That premium has remained flat. We're continuing that with Chubb. and the accompanying executive protection package. So the public entities, the DNO, directors and officers, coverage, the executive protection, be your employment practices liability, and a suite of crime coverages. We did competitively bid the cyber liability coverage last year and achieved an improvement in coverage with a premium reduction by moving that to Travelers. So overall, we regard this as a good renewal with a good outcome. And if anyone's got any questions about the specific coverage or, the outcome of the renewal, I'd like to open it up for questions.
Any questions for Vincent? Okay, hearing none, I guess, Paul, what we're looking for from the board here is a motion to hear and act on a request to authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into an agreement to renew the authority's insurance policy in substantially the form that was presented to the committee and to the board today.
So by Grant,
second
by Gaffney. Any discussion, further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Anyone abstaining? Motion passes. All right. On to the fiscal year 2026 quarter one office physical analysis report. Tom?
Yeah, so once again, Faye and her team have prepared these reports on a quarterly basis. We've reviewed the 2026 report. Faye, do you want to add anything to that discussion?
No, just that it represents the change in funding for the quarter. You would observe the absence of the DOT contributions as those funding has ended.
Okay, so everybody's had a chance to look at that. And so we'll ask for a motion to hear an act on a request to authorize a submission of the fiscal year 2026 Q1 quarterly financial report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis. We have that motion.
So moved.
David and Kristen. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Anyone abstaining? Motion carries. All right, on to the HR committee. So, John.
Oh.
Get the quarterly for personnel.
Unprepared as I am, Mr. Chairman, I can defer to Kathy if you have any.
We did have our meeting a couple weeks ago. And we did provide a report, which is in your package, for as required, the quarterly personnel status report. Total number of employees by the end of the quarter, 5.5. I'll have Mike or John explain the 0.5 person element. The positions vacated and positions filled by the end of the quarter. Zero vacated and one position filled. The positions estimated to be vacant and the positions estimated to be filled at the end of the fiscal year. Zero estimated vacant and zero estimated to be filled.
Gaffney, for the whole board's awareness, just to keep everybody, including the new members, up to speed on what the 5.5 employees are composed of. It's myself as the executive director. Jill is the office manager. We've all heard from Phil Faye today. She's the finance director. The finance director has a half-time bookkeeper. That's Laurie Epler. That's the 0.5. And we have two community liaisons, Melissa Root and Anthony Aferre.
Very good. Thank you, Mike.
With nobody indicating they're leaving their positions between now and the end of the year. So no, that's why there's no positions coming from.
I think this is a matter of interpretation, and the statutory language is admittedly a little bit vague. That I interpret category three to say how many positions will be vacant and how many positions will be filled at the end of the year. And I would fill that out as I do with my organization as zero will be vacant and 5.5 will be filled at the end of the year.
Hmm.
But it is a little bit ambiguous given that it's the exact same language used in the activity for the quarter, how many were filled, and the state at the end of the year, how many will be filled. And I think you could question whether that refers to the verb of how many will be filled or the adjective of how many will be filled at that time. I interpret it to say that is meant to be the snapshot at the end of the fiscal year to see how many will be vacant and how many will be filled. So if you expected that one of the positions would not be filled by the end of the year, you'd say one would be vacant, 4.5 would be filled, rather than reflecting the anticipated activity during the year that one would be vacated and one would be filled.
It's an interesting read.
Yeah.
I think we've been doing it this way.
Yeah.
So for consistency,
that's fine.
We did leave it that
yeah.
way.
I never questioned it when I was approving them in the past. But now that I'm having to fill them out as the executive director of Quasi, I do it differently than we do it here. And I just wanted to point that out.
We'll do some other exploration on that. We're not the only ones that fill in those reports and see what other people do.
Yeah.
That is executive director.
It's admittedly ambiguous for sure.
That's right in with the state.
Yeah, I would read this as simply being as it says, estimated, what is anticipated to be filled or anticipated, anybody anticipating to be. That's the way I read it.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I mean, why do they care what you think the cumulative individual ups and downs are going to be at the end of the year? I think they're asking, like, what do you think the snapshot is going to be
at the end of the year?
We've determined that it's indeterminate on what these reports get used for.
Oh, I'm forgetting.
I didn't say that.
Since we're both quasis with very low numbers of people, it's probably... I mean, how many do you have working for you?
Three.
So when it's that small, I can see where, you know, somebody like the airport authority probably has.
Yeah, lots of activity up and down, unfortunately.
One thing that we could do, just kind of avoid the investigate, you know, kind of have to look into it more, is just include, you know, amend the report to just include the numbers both ways. So in it, just add to what you have there the totals that we anticipate at the end of the year, and then you'll have reported the numbers both ways, and there'll be one data field that you've given that maybe they didn't need or want, but it won't matter because you'll have the right one there too.
That's what I was thinking.
Clear it up, you know, that way we don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Too late.
Our staff doesn't.
Oh, I say that out loud.
You did.
So I guess I'm looking for authorization to submission of the quarterly personnel status report to the Office of Physical Analysis with a minor change and item number three?
So moved. Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion passes. Okay, on to agenda item number four, which is a request for proposal for a mobile cable management system. I'm going to turn that over to Mike to discuss the proposal.
Thank you, Paul. You should have all have this in an email. And Phil, if you could bring that, can you bring that?
Sorry.
Then don't bring that up. We did put out a proposal for mobile cable management system. We were receiver of four bids. One was a mobile system with high cost. One was a mobile system with medium cost. And we had one mobile system of low cost. And then we had one that was just a bid for power outlets only, so we really couldn't consider that one. The difference between the high and medium cost systems and the low cost system was functionality. The high and medium systems actually bolted to the pier outside the quay wall and had the ability to ratchet back and forth and be positioned in many locations and drag power supply cable with them and then have a davit arm to position the cable going to a ship so that you could reach many locations along 1,000 feet of wall to accommodate many different ship configurations. There was quite a bit of expense for the installation and construction of that, as well as a lot of moving parts and some future maintenance liabilities, perhaps. But we focused our attention on the lower cost system. You have pictures of that in your email that we can't bring up on screen right this second, but it's comprised of two different systems, a high voltage system and a low voltage system. The high voltage system also supports low voltage power to ships that are making use of the high voltage system. That's on a self-propelled trailer that positions itself anywhere we want along the quay wall. Gets hooked up to whatever outlet combination that we choose to construct. So we have some flexibility in the construction phase on what locations we could put that in. Initially, we're thinking that there'll be two outlets. The two outlets are included in this estimate. That way we can position this trailer in multiple places. I call it a trailer because it's about the size of a trailer, and it can be towed if necessary if there's a problem with the onboard motion system. The low voltage system is more of a 7 foot high 4x4 box that you can move with a forklift. It does not have its own propulsion system, and it can pay out low voltage cable for about 150 feet in either direction and also be placed in multiple areas of the pier. So it gives us great flexibility. That's the kind of power you might use on a tugboat compared to a larger supply ship. There are some additional discussions we're having with the vendor about maintenance and warranty contracts. We want to get the right combination of a warranty period and service agreement to support what we need at the pier. We've also talked to the EPA about the low voltage part of the system because the vendor, Zynus is the vendor we're talking about, is based overseas. They have an assembly facility in Washington State. They'll be doing final assembly in the United States, and because they're doing final assembly in the United States and the high voltage system can position itself, that meets the requirements for a Buy America, Build America, or BABA waiver. And so we would have preferred that we had a choice of a U.S. vendor to supply us with the components, but no U.S. vendors bid on this project. This is a great option, but we need to make sure that the low voltage part of the option is squared up with the requirements for the BABA waiver. So we're going to continue to work with the EPA and the vendor on that. There's the potential for the vendor to add motion equipment to the low voltage solution, which would make it then BABA waiver compliant. That's a, if that's a term,
trailer.
Not a trailer, but you know, a scaled down version of an SMTP that's remote controlled and battery operated. They're interested in making sure that there's no fuel emitters used for the components as they're moved around the pier, or that we don't move it around the pier or use it because there's an impediment to the equipment that we would have to move it with. So the full waiver allows for an overseas vendor to supply us with this equipment under this grant if it's mobile. That could mean bolting it to an electric forklift. It could mean putting it on an electric battery-operated skateboard. I use that term because that's kind of what the handling devices look like that you can get. And they're quite durable and can move many, many pounds of equipment, so they're very reliable.
You can probably move everything on the pier now.
Well, with an SMTP, those are big. You know, big you're asking it to pick up 1.2 million pounds, and it does so. You can scale all that down.
Yeah.
Is the high voltage one in existence and operational anyplace?
Yes, but one place in America, I forget the location, and Zynus has a good website, and they show lots of pictures of them in operation in their foreign ports. The cost estimate for these two components delivered with all the necessary parts to operate this equipment with the site acceptance testing and the training necessary came out to a little bit over $1 million, $1,019,000. But again, we haven't finalized the low voltage solution yet. And we're still working on the warranty and service contract agreements. What could change that price slightly. What I will point out is the budget for our $5.9 million dollars in expenditure for this project, which is $5.6 million grant plus $5.3 million grant plus $600,000 of contribution from the Port Authority, had budgeted about $2.5 million for the purchase of this long lead equipment. We do expect it to take about 11 to 12 months for this equipment to get here. The next phase in this operation is to bid up the construction part of the equation. Moffitt and Nickel, the engineering firm we hired, is mapping out, based on this equipment, what the construction would have to look like. And we're hoping to put that out for bid in the first quarter of next year. Depending on the equipment needed to go from grid to power outlet, we could have some more long lead components involved. So the two outstanding things that we need to do for this contract is map out the service and warranty agreements and ensure that the BABA compliance is where we need it to be for the configuration that we're going to end up with that satisfies the grant requirements in agreement with the EPA. There is a potential that we can't make the low voltage component fit. And that would reduce the price by $223 million because we just wouldn't buy that piece. However,
$223 million.
After a while, it adds up to real money. $223,000. So about 25% of this project is the low voltage solution that can be used as a standalone. The EPA does recognize the value of being able to utilize that on the pier. And so it's hopeful that we'll be able to work out a solution. But today I'm requesting that the board authorize the executive director to complete final negotiations and contract adjustments and execute the final supply agreement with Zynus.
Do you have any comments on the length of the warranty?
It's anywhere from 2 to 5 years. It would be adjustable with the service contract in place. We thought that the warranty would be stronger with a service contract. They do have a U.S. vendor who does their service contracts for them, and they'll be training additional people as they gain more of a footing in the U.S. And the price wasn't substantially different. It's like plus or minus $20,000 in either direction, but it's just a different price than you see here.
Do you know anybody who's used these people?
No,
have you talked to them?
I do not. They're not that prevalent in the United States yet. Other questions?
Okay, so I'd like to hear a motion to authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into an agreement for a mobile cable management system for the New London State Pier Shore Power Project.
So moved. Second.
So John and Grant, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? Hearing none, motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, on to agenda item number five, the annual operations project report. It's a little bit lengthy, but if Mike wants to point out anything in the report, I'll let him do so.
Well, I think I will point out everything in the report. It is quite a read. It is a record of everything that the Port Authority has done this year. It's our place where we make recommendations to the legislature on things that need to be adjusted. And kind of puts down what we need to do in the future. Two specific things that I have mentioned in there for the future are federal navigation channel dredging and shipping. There are two focus items that would help out the state greatly. If there's any legislative changes needed, we're going to ask for ship funding to be a line item in the annual budget rather than a bonded activity. Since it's a relatively small dollar amount and it's intended to be repeated year over year, it lends itself more to a budgeted line item that comes out once a year when the fiscal year starts rather than go through the bond authorization process. That's our recommendation to the legislature. They'll take that up. The other item we do have in there is, you know, this is an annual report that has to be issued on December 15th. Which is why we're presenting it here today, but we want your input and insights and feedback so we can capture that and then be able to disposition this on December 15th. We're gonna specifically ask the legislature to look at combining the reports and making it streamlined and having the 2025 annual report due on the January 30th each year of the 2026. So that'll allow us to finish the year, put the report together and give it to the intended recipients. But, you know, it's interesting when you look back on, I've been here for almost 11 months now, a lot of things that have happened over the course of time. It all fades as you go forward. So we capture this from all the work that we've been doing throughout the course of the year. And we don't want to leave anything out. So if you all have things that aren't in there that you said, hey, what about this? We'll gladly add it and consider that feedback, but we need that by December 1st.
So
be careful about,
go ahead.
We gotta be careful about a line item in the sense for dredging, in the sense that we don't wanna get locked in at an amount. A lot of times line items, they just keep repeating.
So the light item was for the ship grant.
Right.
That's not for dredging.
That's not for
that's not specifically for dredging. It's for the ship grant program. And it's being funded at $5 million now. In the future, if we see a greater need, then we would make a recommendation to change that. But for now, it would be best invested from the bond loss.
Make a motion to approve the report as written with the request that any amendments suggested by board members and adopted by staff between now and submission are circulated to the board for information.
Thanks. Grant's the second. Any further discussion?
I would like to add a friendly reminder about having a legislative breakfast at some point.
Okay.
It's on our to-do list. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Anyone abstaining? Okay, motion carries. Okay, agenda item number six is the regular meeting schedule, which are there two versions of this out there, Joe? or just
so just that one is out there. And then I made some comments since Mike and I had some further discussion. Yeah. And I would love this to be similar to what Mike just said about giving the board time to look at it and then get us comments by December 1st. I would love for that to apply to this as well, if possible.
Very well. Dave, do you want to make that motion again since you so graciously did the last one?
Yep, sure, happy to do it. Motion to approve the calendar as presented and any suggested edits from the board accepted by the staff to be circulated prior to the end of the calendar year.
Second?
Second.
Second by John. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? All right, so this is a special meeting, so there's no new or old business to be presented. I want to thank everybody. I thought this would be like an hour and a half meeting, but you guys have rambled through it very nicely. We appreciate your patience. Appreciate you coming to the special meeting. Do you want to say something,
Mike? I do. The next meeting that we have scheduled is December 9th. That's the annual public meeting. We're going to do it in person. We've booked space at Central Connecticut State University for that. We anticipate the what?
Sorry, Southern Connecticut.
Southern Connecticut. Thank you.
Okay.
My daughter went to Central.
Only 40 miles apart.
Only 40 miles apart. Don't go north. So it's a good meeting space for us. We'll also have it by Zoom. There'll be refreshments beforehand so people can chat with each other. And then the format of the annual meeting, you certainly can send in feedback on what you'd like to see, but it's going to outline some of the most of the things that are in the annual report, since that's a good template. We're going to update everybody on the Army Corps' dredge study that they've been doing all year long and take any other feedback on operations along the coast.
At what time of the day?
11 a.m., right?
Yeah, so 10 a.m. Breakfast networking, 11 a.m. beginning of the annual public hearing. And we'll be circulating that now that we've announced it.
I'm sure it'll be great fun.
Me too.
You always get a wonderful public outcry for that. All right, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
So moved.
And Grant. With that said, I'm assuming everybody is voting yay, and we shall see you on the 9th.
Thank you.